Omar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, G'doyla Hasoras HaTabas, Yoyser Mimemches Nevi'im V'Zayin Nevi'os, Shenisnabu Lahem LiYisrael. The Hasoras HaTabas, when Ahasuerus took his signet ring, his tabas that validated, notarized, so to speak, all of the documents that came in his name, when he gave that over to Haman, that was greater than the Memches Nevi'im and the Zayin Nevi'os that Klal Yisrael had. She Memches Nevi'im v'Zayin Nevi'os she nisnabu lehem liYisrael loy hechziram lemutov. They were not altogether, they were not successful in bringing about the tshuva to Klal Yisrael to the fullest extent, I guess, that was necessary. Certainly didn't resolve all of the issues that continued to befall Klal Yisrael. There wasn't a real tshuva. The ilu hasoras tabas zu hasoras tabas hechziru lemutov. But hasoras tabas, when Ahasuerus took off the tabas and gave it to Haman, that was the that brought the Klal Yisrael to tshuva. they did the tefillah, and then they did tshuva, and then of course the whole geula took place. So the Marsho here says that the ilu hasoras tabas, he says, Tolo gzeres hamelech basoras tabas sheboy nimseru lohomon, says the gzeres hamelech is tolo in the hasoras tabas. Because that tabas was the sig, was the seal that you could do whatever you want to this people. Uvemedrash Ahasuerus hoyo soine Yisrael. The medrash seems to say Ahasuerus hated Klal Yisrael yosemim in hogoy shalolim more than anything imaginable, than the normal thing that you would find in the world. Darko shalo, why? What's the raya? Darko shalo keach li tene rovo lemoicher. A loikeach will give some type of a security to the one who sells until he pays it to him. Verom hochok siv vayosa hamelech astabatoi v'chulei. He took him stabas. He didn't ask anything from Haman to any security to make sure that he gets it back. V'hocha hasoras hatabas sherobo sinas achashveros biyoser. When that hasoras hatabas, which was given over stam unconditionally without any security, anything that Ahasuerus should be sure that he's going to get it back, that showed this unparalleled, this unusual, this is more than darkei shel olam sino biyoser. He echzir on lemutov. That Hasoras HaTabas, the expression of Ahasuerus, is way beyond the normal occurrence of things, that he had such a sin for Klal Yisrael that he gave over the Tabas without any security of getting it back. The Tabas was his most important thing. That was where all his gzeiros were dependent upon. And he gave it over without any security to get it back. That showed the fullest extent of his sin. This was who, he says, Sherobo Sinas Ahasuerus B'Yoyser, he hechzir on lemutov. She also tshuva b'cholibam. That's what brought them to do tshuva b'cholibam, because they saw Sinas Ahasuerus. Now, it's really stop a little bit strange, because we always looked at it, at the fact that Haman was behind this. Haman was Mizera Amalek. Mordechai knew from the very beginning that Haman was plotting this whole destruction. Of course, it wasn't, I guess, until the Tabas came, it wasn't publicly announced. But even with the Tabas and all of the gzeiros that were there, which Mordechai knew it was Haman, and that Esther is coming to tell Ahasuerus later that it was Haman who was the perpetrator of all of this. But this, the Marsha seems to ignore. It says, you know what really brought them to do tshuva even more than Haman? And it was the sinner, the extent of the sinner that they saw Ahasuerus, that he gave over the ring without getting any security to get it back. That's what the Marsha says. The Eitz Yosef has a whole arichos here, which is a little bit long to go into, but basically he says that the Hasoras HaTabas was the thing that really confirmed to them that the Gzeira of Haman was going to be a real Gzeira. Because he says, Achashverosh, he uses a funny word, he says Achashverosh was a very indecisive person. He was constantly going, he brings riots, he was going back and forth. One day he'll say one thing, the next day he'll say the other thing. So nothing really meant anything, the fact that he would have agreed to it. But when they saw that he gave over the Tabas, which is something, Dovar Asher Nechtam B'Tabas HaMelech Eilo Hoshiv, that finalized it. That already took Achashverosh out of this indecisive, fickle kind of person who's changing his mind every month in Donishtik. That made it something that this is going to stick. This Gzeira is for real. There's no recourse. There's no tomorrow he's going to change his mind. And now that's what inspired them or convinced them that they have to do tshuva. But he writes it in a very funny way. He says, Lochein al guf hagzeira lo hoyu choyshishin kol kach al shohoya hafachfach. He says he was this changing mind person. Ve'ef she'itin das acher. Avul b'hasor. So on the gzeira, they weren't so choyshish. Tomorrow he'll change his mind. Not so terrible. Avul b'hasor es hatabas ovdo teichaltom ve'shovu la'ashem. With the hasor es hatabas, they lost their hope. They lost all hope. And now this is something that's final. This is it. And Memela, that was the ability to do tshuva. And it seems that this concept of they lost hope. Well, like, what were they hoping? Is he referring to a hope, just the hope that Achashverosh is going to change his mind? I mean, with certainly under the guidance of Mordechai and the Klal Yisrael that had already experienced all of their great history that we have and the Mesorah that they knew and the education that surely Mordechai and Esther had given them and the Sanhedrin, that they knew that ultimately we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where it comes from. And I guess that what they were doing in a sense is they were hoping. In other words, there's a loophole. There's a loophole. We have this loophole. We have that loophole. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other thing. But it was only when they saw that this had a certain sense of finality. Now it can't be changed. So that shook that hope. And then they were able to, then that brought them to do tshuva. It sounds like that hope can sometimes interfere with a person doing tshuva. Now, we always laud the benefits of hope, bitochin, a person knowing that Hashem could do anything, afilu cherev chodo munachas al tzavorim shel odom, al yimne satzum min harachamim, that to the very last second, the person has to have hope, we can never lose hope, because Hashem can do anything, and that's the reality in life. But it seems that, and maybe it would seem that that's why even the Memches Neviim and the Zayin Neviois, that they also didn't bring them to tshuva. Because when there's the ability to hope, so sometimes we don't connect with the cause of why we're going through this in the first place. Because I can hope, well, you know, Hashem Yazor, it's going to be all right. I refuse to lose hope. Things are going to work out. And yes, it's true. And there is such a chiyuv. And there is such an inyan. And it's the reality. But mitzad sheni, there's a danger that can interfere with their ability to do tshuva. And it sounds like, the way the Eitz Yosef is learning here, that the interference with that ability was kol zman, it wasn't absolutely, what are you talking about? Amalek is starting up with them. They know the history. Haman is out to get them. He has all of these gzeir. No, that's not it. Maybe Achashverosh will change his mind. It happens, you know. But the minute that they came to a certain point that it stared that hope, that was the moment that brought them to the tshuva. And it sounds like that in terms of the Nevi'im, I'm not sure, but the Nevi'im and the Nevi'os is also like, yes, they're telling us what's going to be, but mitzad echod, the hope that we have, we've been taught to have bitocha, we've been taught to hope to Hashem, we've been taught afilu cherev chod munach al tzavor shel odom, and that plays a double role. It gives us strength to continue under the most adverse circumstances, and at the same time, it can sometimes interfere with the realization and the ability that I have to do tshuva. it's true that it says Yisurim Boinolov Yifashrish B'masov. So Chazal didn't say Yisurim Boinolov. Well, have bitochen that they're going to go away. Yeah, there certainly is, and bitochen can certainly help. We know that. That's a reality. That's a fact. It's a fact of life. But the bitochen should not be allowed to interfere with the need to say, hey, if Yisurim are happening in the first place, or if Yisurim are even threatened in the first place, that means there's a reason. The Novi wouldn't tell me that something is going to befall me at some point unless there's some basis for it. And the response has to be at the same time where I don't lose hope and I rely on Hashem, but I also have to bring myself to do tshuva. And it seems here that the hope that they had was able to interfere, and they knew they had to do tshuva, and Mordechai, I'm sure, told them and taught them, and they were partook in this terrible, ugly pseudo with all of the terrible things that went on there. But Kol Zman, they were able to think, well, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope. And it took something which shook that hope that they were able to wake up and say, hey, hope could be it is the ultimate power, and hope could also be a distraction from the realization of the need to do tshuva. And maybe, and it seems also from the Marsha that it took, Haman's Gzera, like what could be worse? They saw what it was. But when they saw the extent of Achashverosh's sino, that there's sometimes a makeh bepatish. There's something that the danger is great, everything is great. But I saw, oh, look at this. He did something here, shaloi kederach hateva, and this is this much. Oh, this hatred is terrible. Haman is talking about destroying Klal Yisrael. So, and it's not, the Marsha doesn't mention the fact that the chasimo is what's going to validate it, like the Etz Yosef said. He mentions that the chasimo was only that he gave it over without an eirovin, which shows how much he hated. So that additional understanding, so much is at stake, so much is, the danger is so great, but I see this extent of it, that sometimes can shake a person up. So also that very often sometimes we manage, whether it's with hope or with not paying attention, with immunity, with whatever thoughts a person may have, but sometimes it takes just one additional thing which may or may not be even greater than the etzem thing that we've been able to ignore, and all of a sudden that opens up my mind, and now I'm able to see that there's a danger here, and that, it seems, is what the Marsha says is what happened in the time of Purim.